Turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4. Been well taken care of today, well fed, and we're thankful for everybody's hospitality and just enjoying ourselves here. And thank the Lord for, again, your invitation and your kindness to us. We truly appreciate it. We love you all. Love this church. Ephesians chapter number 4. We'll start reading verse 22. It says that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. One of the areas where I can tell that I am hindered, or whenever I am hindered, it seems, in my spiritual walk, it is because there is some sin in my life that I must repent of, some sin that I'm not dealing with. And the longer that sin is present in my life, my soul, it seems my Bible reading doesn't impact me the way it should, and it seems my prayer life is cold. And when we think of sins, you know, we sometimes don't look at all what the Bible says about different sins, and some of these sins are more prevalent in our lives than others. And I'm going to deal with one of those tonight, and hope that if this is something that has affected in your life, that the Lord may deal with it in you, and just be on guard against this particular sin, and watch out for it, that you not get entangled with it. And this sin destroys churches, it ruins marriages, it wrecks ministries, it kills and it destroys, and it does so efficiently that we don't even realize that it's the culprit. This sin is so sly that it can ruin your life and make you think it's somebody else's fault. And it is bitterness. That's what we have in verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath be put away from you. And that's what I'm going to talk tonight, preach to you tonight on, is bitterness. And by God's grace, we'll look at through the light of Scripture and bring it out in the open. Because this is a sin that you can commit and not truly understand what's happening. So we got four questions to ask in this message. What is bitterness? Where does it come from? How do I know if I'm bitter? And what are the effects of bitterness? And with the Lord's help, we'll examine this subject tonight. Everybody knows what bitterness is, but it's kind of hard to explain and define. Crystal and I used to laugh when the boys were real small, and they would ask what a word means that we use every day. What does because mean? And you just kind of laugh and say, well, that's a silly question. And then you try to think of how you're going to define because. And it's a little bit harder than you think. Well, bitterness is something you know what it is, but it's kind of hard to put your finger on. And you think about it in food. That's how you can look at me and tell. That's probably how my mind would go to think about food. But bitter food, coffee and grapefruit, cabbage, that's all bitter food. It's got a strong bite to it. It's got an overpowering taste. It's strong. And that's what it is in the soul. The sin of bitterness has that sharp, overpowering punch to it. It's rancorous. It's resentful. And Ephesians 4:32 kind of gives us a help to what it is. It says, be kind one to another. And you say, well, how does that help us? Well, this whole chapter, the reason I backed up to verse 22 is Paul says, don't be like this, but rather be like that. So he tells you, don't be like the Gentiles, but rather walk in the Spirit. Put off the old man. Don't walk in the old man, but rather walk in the new man. Don't walk with the old mind, but rather walk, renew the mind in the Spirit. So look, if you see in verse 28, don't steal, but rather work to give to others. Right? In verse 29, don't speak foul, corrupt words, but rather use words of grace that it might edify. Verse 31 tells us, don't be bitter and angry, but rather be tenderhearted and kind and forgiving. So there's these contrasts. Don't do this, but instead do that. So the Bible tells us not to be bitter, but rather, instead of bitter, being kind-hearted and forgiving to one another. Bitterness is the opposite of a kind, tender-hearted spirit. So if somebody's kind to you, and somebody's generous to you, and someone is forgiving and a tender-hearted person, what would you say? You'd say, well, they're such a sweet person, wouldn't you? And they're a sweet person. Well, what's the opposite of that? What's the opposite of a sweet person who is kind and tender-hearted and forgiving? Well, that's a bitter person. So that kind of gives you an idea of what this word means and the weight of this sin. It is a hard, biting, rancorous spirit that just it starts in the heart and just it manifests itself in so many different ways. Well, where does bitterness come from? Well, bitterness comes from either an actual sin or a perceived sin that somebody has or committed against you or somebody close to you. And that's why I said it's a difficult sin to spot, because it starts with somebody else. It starts with someone else treating you bad or sinning against you or harming you in a terrible way. Bitterness comes from anger over an injustice that's been done to you in life. It could be that someone has robbed you, or somebody has started a terrible rumor about you. Bitterness can come from the death of a child. It can come with an argument that you've had with somebody where somebody said something very harsh to you. Right? It starts with someone else treating you bad or treating your loved one bad or a perceived wrong. And that's why it makes this sin so bad, is because it starts with someone else doing the wrong. And it also is wrong because it happens to us. This is why another reason why it's hard, because it happens to us. See, if somebody steals my car, you could try to encourage me and say, well, it's the Lord's will, trust in the Lord. You can take me to Romans 8:28 and you can do that. But if somebody steals your car, that's something different. You say, yeah, this is my car. I have to go to work tomorrow, right? So it's different when it happens to you. It's not really different, but it is different. It's harder for us to live out what we believe than it is to tell somebody else what they ought to do. So when someone does us wrong, we know we ought to be kind and tender-hearted and forgiving. But boy, when somebody lies about us, or somebody starts a rumor about us, or somebody harms our family, it is difficult to remember that we have an obligation to our Lord on how we deal with that particular sin. What do we want when somebody steals our car? Well, we want justice, don't we? We want to find the culprit. We came home from church one night, and Crystal and I came in the door, and I said, well, somebody left the window open. And I thought, well, no, we don't open the windows. Well, somebody else opened the window, and they came in the house and robbed us. And, you know, we called the police, and they said, well, you can start checking the pawn shops, but that's about all we can do. And boy, that made me mad to think about that. And so they're not even going to look for it or anything. And you know, I got mad thinking about these people were going to get away with it. They're going to rob and they're going to get away with it. And justice isn't going to be done. And I started getting mad about it and angry. And I was done wrong. But how I dealt with that from that moment on, you know, that's on me. How that's going to affect my life from here on out is up on me. And that's where bitterness comes from. It's how we deal with those injustices and how we move forward with that in mind, knowing that justice may never come in this world. It's different because it hits home. And I'm not telling you what you ought to do, but I'm having to work out in my mind what I must do to please the Lord. Bitterness is easy to see in other people, but it's very hard to see in ourselves. Bitterness comes from hanging on to that pain and hanging on to that sin. It's anger that spoils, in other words. You can be righteously angry at a terrible sin. Anger is not the sin. It's not a sin to be angry. In fact, it would be something would be broken in you and wrong if you didn't get angry. If someone said something about my wife and I didn't get angry about it, well, there'd be something wrong with me. If someone harmed her and I wasn't angry, then it's my fault if I was just letting slide. So no, I'm just gonna love. No, I should be righteously angry. God has given us that emotion to move us to action. If you think about anger, God has given that to spur us. There's a chemical reaction that happens to you when you get angry, and God has given us that, I believe, to put us into action, to defend the weak, to help the helpless, to defend the truth. You know, and a righteous anger is not sin. But if you hang on to that anger, if you get angry but don't do anything about it, but you just stay angry, well, you're not using anger like God intended it to be used. And you're hanging on to it. And what's going to happen is it's going to spoil. If you keep that anger and don't use it or take it to Jesus, then it's going to affect your life. You know, it's very hard for us to see this in ourselves when bitterness comes. But it always, because it starts when somebody else does us wrong. Nobody wants to be bitter. No one says, you know, that's my goal in 2019, my New Year's resolution. I'm going to try to be more bitter this year. And I'm going to try to be more angry and cantankerous. No one has ever said that. But it's still something that we have to deal with. So we don't want to be that. We know people who are. But we need to be able to look in the mirror of the Word of God and find it in our own lives. You say, well, how do I know if I'm bitter? Well, consider the book of Ruth. There was a famine in the land back in the days of Ruth, back in Judah. And this man took his wife and his two boys to Moab to survive. There was no food, and they were going to leave the land that God had given them. They were going to go down there and get some work and get through the famine. Well, the husband dies, so it's just Naomi and her two boys. And 10 years later, both her boys die. So here she is, lost her husband, lost her boys. Now she just has her two daughter-in-laws, and she said, I'm going to go back home. And the one leaves, and Ruth stays. She said, I'm going to stick with you, Naomi, and I'm going to follow you. And she comes back home. After all those times, she comes back to the land that God had given her. And in Ruth 1:20, it says, and she came and said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went home full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? I always wonder what that homecoming would be like. You know, why? Look, there's Naomi. Well, I haven't seen her in 15 years. Naomi, it's so good to see you. Don't call me Naomi. Don't call me Naomi. You call me Mara, because the Lord's been bitter with me. Let me tell you what's happened to me. And you think that conversation lasted very long? I said, well, okay, good to see you. But that's the attitude that she had. And when we think about this, it's kind of humorous to think about. But really, that's what she would have done. Don't call me Naomi. I don't have a pleasant life. What had she been thinking about? And I'm not belittling her hard circumstances either. To lose her husband, to lose both her boys, I mean, that's terrible. But she was bitter about God's promises. And she even knew that. She knew that she was bitter about it. She had a lot that she could have been thankful for. And by the time you get to the end of the book, she's not the same She's not the same. She's not Mara at the end of the book. She's Naomi again by the end. That God deals with her and softens her heart and shows her that she was not alone. The Lord had been with her and had blessed her beyond measure. And through Ruth, she had softened her heart and she dealt with her bitterness. But when she came back, boy, she was bitter. She was bitter against God. She was angry, no doubt about that famine that made him move. She was bitter that her husband had died. She was bitter that the Lord had taken her boys. She was bitter against the God life that God gave her. And she's kind of harsh a little bit to Ruth at the whenever she was sending them away. And it just doesn't seem like that there was anything in life that she could rejoice in. And that's what bitterness does. It sours not only your soul, but everything else. And while she was bitter, she couldn't enjoy the fellowship with Ruth. And she couldn't enjoy her homecoming. And she couldn't enjoy those who had come to welcome her back. And it wasn't until she could deal with that sin, until she could see the blessings that God had blessed her with. So bitterness focuses on self and not on others. Bitterness focuses on self and it's full of self-pity. Another example of bitterness in the Old Testament is Jonah. Jonah was bitter because God was saving Gentiles. Jonah was bitter because God gave him a shade tree and then he killed that gourd and he got bitter about that gourd. And he looked at that and he saw it as a personal affront against him that God had personally insulted him by taking away that gourd and had personally insulted him by making him go preach a revival where the whole town was saved. And he was angry about that. And God asked him if he did well to be angry. And he said, yes, I do well to be angry. As a matter of fact, I just don't like this whole situation. You made me come here and preach. I should have been preaching to my people, not these Gentiles. And now I had this shade tree, and I was getting cozy, waiting for the judgment to come. And it didn't come. And he was just bitter. He was full of self-pity. All this stuff is happening to me. Why is this happening to me? Why couldn't somebody else come out here and preach to these Gentiles and on and on and on? That he perceived that God had wronged him and he was bitter about it. So here you have a case of a man who was bitter about something that God had done Jonah no wrong, but he had perceived it as a slight, and or at least he considered somebody had wronged him in some way, and he said he did well to be angry and bitter. So it was full of self-pity. Bitterness is full of jealousy. In the book of James, chapter 3, and verse 14, it says here, James 3:14, "But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth." So when you see someone succeed where you didn't succeed, or you wanted to succeed, and then you get mad about it, you can become bitter against them. And that's another way you can spot bitterness in your own soul. If you're jealous about something and you see somebody doing well and it just rubs you the wrong way that they're doing well, and you wouldn't want to say it to anybody, but it just kind of hurts you to see them succeeding in life. Well, it could be bitterness. You may be bitter that God has not blessed you in that way. You may be bitter about somewhere you have not succeeded in life. You can see that all over the place. People get jealous and bitter about somebody else. Then every little thing they do is wrong. They criticize their clothes. They criticize their weight, their family, their church, everything. They have to criticize every little thing about it because they are bitter. So this is one of those areas where you say, well, that person's just jealous. Well, they might be jealous, but the root of that might be bitterness. That jealousy is a sin as well, but it might stem from a bitter heart that God has not given them what they think they deserve. Another area is that bitterness remembers. Bitterness remembers. The book of Lamentations in the Old Testament, a series of poems that Jeremiah wrote, and in chapter 3, in verse 15, it says this: "He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He hath also broken my teeth with gravel stones. He hath covered me with ashes. And thou hast removed my soul far off from peace. I forgot prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord, remembering my affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. My soul hath him still in remembrance and is humbled in me. Did you notice how many times Jeremiah said, I remember and I think and I remember? Now, Jeremiah wrote this poem. He had warned Jerusalem and God's people that chastisement was coming. He warned and he warned the judgment of God is upon us because we have taken lightly the things of God. And they didn't listen to Jeremiah. Went in one ear and out the other. They did not listen to Jeremiah's warning. They did not listen to the word of God. And what happened? Exactly like he said was going to happen. Nebuchadnezzar comes and there's judgment that comes upon the people of God. Jeremiah warned and he was right. But that didn't make him happy that he was right. And so now he's looking and thinking and remembering the wrath of God poured out there upon Jerusalem through Nebuchadnezzar. He remembers the hurt of the people of God, the chastisement, and he thinks about it and he says he's bitter. I'm bitter with remembrance. It's like I'm drunk with wormwood. I have no peace. I forgot prosperity. I remember my affliction. I remember my misery. I remember all these terrible things that have happened to me. Bitterness remembers. And here's a good way to know if you're bitter about something is if you remember it clearly and distinctly. Do you remember that argument that you had with somebody 10 years ago? Do you remember how they lied about you? Do you remember how they hurt you? So maybe you had an argument with somebody 10 years ago, and you can remember the tone of their voice. You can remember what clothes they were wearing. You can remember what the weather was like. You can remember that smirk they gave you and that just the way that they said whatever it was they said. You just remember every detail about that fight or whatever it is. You say, well, I just have a very good memory. All right, well, what congregational song did we sing last night, if you have a very good memory? What did Brother Andy preach on 3 Sundays ago? You might be able to come up with it, but it's not at the forefront of your mind. Not like that slight that somebody gave you years ago. Right? Bitterness remembers. You remember it. Why do you remember it? Why do you remember your multiplication tables? Probably because you said them over and over and over and over and over again, right? That you repeated them, you repeat them. If you're going to remember a Bible verse, what do to remember it? Do you read it over and over and you repeat it and you look at it again, you read it, you might write it down, but it's repetition over and over and over to drill that into your mind. So why do you think you remember that slight so well? It's because you remember it. And then you replay it. That's why you can see that smirk in their face. Because how many times have you replayed that in the theater of your mind? Over and over and over again. You remember that wrong. And you repeat it to yourself. It remembers. You know, I've known people that have left churches. They've been members of the church for 20 years. And they left the church and they can't say one good thing about that church they left. And I'm thinking, really? You can't say one good thing? No, they're the worst church that's ever been in existence. And I think, well, why did you join that church to start with? There must have been some reason that you joined to start with, and you kept going back, year after year after year. But what happens is we forget all the good things, and we forget the blessings that we have. But we can remember every slight and every hard word and every fight and every time someone has truly done us wrong. See, it's not that nothing happens. Jeremiah, there's a lot of things that happened. All kinds of things that happened. Jeremiah didn't lie about this. He didn't make this up. These were all terrible things that happened. But he kept replaying them. And that's what stuck in his mind. So when we have a falling out with somebody, we don't go back and think of all the good times that we had. We think about all the reasons why we're still mad at them, and we keep replaying it. A pastor can leave a church and can't say one thing good about the church they left. And that's the same thing. I think, well, why did you take the church to start with? You must have had at least one good reason to take it at the very beginning. And if you can't remember that, then that's a good clue that, you're hanging on to bitterness. You've got that bitter spirit in your heart. In one of the Woodhouse stories, Worcester said, "We Worcesters don't forget lightly. At least we do some things. We forget appointments and birthdays and letters to mail. But we don't forget insults, that's for sure." So that's the kind of thing it is. I have a good memory. I can remember all the times people have wronged me. But I can't remember to pick up something from the store when Crystal tells me. All right. But we replay those things. We replay them. Bitterness remembers. Well, why do you think we remember? Why do you think that we keep replaying those? It's not fun to, at least that's not for me, it's not fun to think about how somebody's done me wrong. I don't like that. But why do I keep remembering it? Why do I do that? Well, I think I do it, and maybe you too, is because you want justice. You want that person to be punished. You want the wrong that they've committed against you to be made right. And it was wrong. Whatever, you know, whatever you may be bitter about, it could be very, very wrong. And justice may have not been done. And you, and at least me, I might think that, well, if I forget about it, then who's going to right the wrong? If I forget about it, then they're just going to get away with it. So I better just keep thinking about it and keep watching and hoping somebody, some way, is going to get back at them. You look at that hurt, and you look at that person, and they didn't get punished. And you say, well, I'm hurting. I've got scars from what they did to me. And then you look at them, they're just going about life as if nothing happened. You don't feel vindicated. You don't feel like justice has been done. It's not fair. It's not right. Somebody needs to do something. Well, that's where we have to deal with this sin, right at that point. We live in a fallen world where children get cancer, where homes get burned down, where people get physically harmed in car accidents hit by drunk drivers. We live in a world where you can be as nice as can be and people treat you awful. You live in a world where you could go out of your way at work to bend over backwards to make someone feel warm and welcome, and they still talk about you behind your back. That hurts, and it's just a result of sin in this cursed world. We feel the sin, the consequences of sin, and it's not right. It's not the way that it ought to be. But when we're bitter, we don't make the situation any better. It does not bring justice. It doesn't make you feel better. It doesn't help you solve the problem. In fact, it makes you feel worse. And not only do you have the original pain that somebody's putting on you, but you have bitterness on top of that. And the worst part of it is, it doesn't make the person that's wronged you feel any worse. So somebody has wronged you and you get mad and bitter about towards them, you feel worse. And they don't feel any worse, right? It doesn't make you feel any better. It doesn't make them feel any worse. So it just doesn't bring anything to your advantage. On top of the fact, it's sin, and which is the worst consequence of all. It's not pleasing in the sight of God. And that's why I started out this, that there are times where you just feel like, well, my spiritual life is cold. Well, it could be the root of bitterness. That you have to deal with that sin in your heart, that you may begin to begin to have your heart warmed again by the love of God. Amen. So what are the effects of bitterness? Bitterness ruins marriages. Paul tells us in Colossians 3:19. He says, "Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them." So it ruins marriages. You say, well, how do I stop being bitter? Well, Paul gives us one way to do it. Just stop. Husbands, don't be bitter against them. A man can get upset with his wife because she doesn't do what he wants her to do. Or she might disappoint him in some way or anything. You get bitter about the dumbest thing. You get angry about the dumbest things. And he might come home and expect her to say that she's sorry, and she doesn't. And boy, I can't believe she didn't tell me sorry. As mad as I've been all day at her, what she did, she might not even know what she did wrong. But you're angry all day and she doesn't say sorry whenever you get home, and now you're really angry. And you stew over that, and what happens? You're bitter now. Then everything she does, everything she says, everything she wears, everything she listens to, it just grates on your nerves because you're bitter. it just spreads. And that's how it can ruin marriages. That's why Paul said to love your wives and be not bitter against them. To love and be tender-hearted towards them and to have a forgiving spirit. And not to nurture anger and let it stew and let it build up in your heart, because it can destroy a marriage. Another thing that the bitterness does is it spreads. It spreads all over the place. Hebrews chapter number 12 tells us this, that bitterness doesn't just stay with you. But bitterness is not content. It wants to go everywhere with everybody. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, it says, "Follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." It troubles you, and then many are defiled. It spreads. It's like that crabgrass that you might get a little bit of it, but then if you don't take care of it quickly, it's going to spread everywhere. It's going to go everywhere. It spreads to everybody in the world, or everybody in your world. So what's the answer that people say? You know, if you go online, you might search up, you know, how do I deal with bitterness? You know, or, you know, we just got done with Thanksgiving. I always like those articles that you see beginning of Thanksgiving. How can I talk politics with my relatives at Thanksgiving? I thought, well, there's a good idea of somebody to avoid at Thanksgiving. And somebody's trying to figure out how to proselytize you to their political point of view at Thanksgiving dinner. But there's all kinds of articles like, well, I'm going and I have a bad relationship with my parents at Thanksgiving, so what should I do? And the world says, well, you need to go and you need to tell why you're bitter and why you're angry against them. Go and tell your grievances. Then air it out. And you know what happens then? Somebody shows up and they're angry and they're bitter, and they wait till everybody gets there, and then they're going to say, yeah, about that thing that you did to me in high school 25 years ago, but we need to have a talk about that. And they spread it. And then what happens? Well, if you're not involved in it, then you just want to leave, and it just spreads, and then people take sides, and one person will be angry at somebody else now, and it just goes and it spreads on and on. You might say, well, aren't you supposed to talk about problems if you have them? Yes. You say, what about Matthew 18? Matthew 18 says you're supposed to go and air these things out. Yes, whenever it happens. It says Jesus said when a brother sins against you, you go to him and him alone and talk to him. But that's not what bitterness does. When someone is bitter, they have been wronged perhaps, but they don't go and tell the person. And they don't go to talk to that person. Instead, they keep it inside and they allow it to eat them up from the inside out. And then once they have become bitter, then they want to talk about it, but they don't want to talk about it and reconciliation like Matthew 18 teaches. If you want to go and talk to somebody with the heart of reconciliation and forgiveness, then you're not bitter. No, you can't go and talk to somebody in reconciliation. If you're bitter, you have to deal with your own sin first in that situation. Then you can go and make reconciliation. You want to share. Why do people want to share bitterness? Why is it spread? Because you want everybody to be on your side. Because you want justice. If that person has done you wrong and you're mad and you're bitter, you want everybody else in the world to be mad and bitter just like you, because you want everybody else to know how right you are and how wrong they were. You want people to join your side. You know, church trouble can start like that. That you want everybody to be on your side. And so you can want other people to be angry just like you are about a certain situation. It spreads in your soul. You can get bitter about one thing, but it doesn't stay in that one part of your life. It spreads to all parts of your life. It makes your whole life bitter. Naomi came back home, and instead of being thankful to see family and friends, what did she do? First thing she did, she spread it to everybody else. Wanted to tell everybody else how bitter she was and how hard things were. And then people went back home and said, man, I ran into Naomi today, and She's something else. She's really bitter. She's really angry. And everybody she came in contact with, she was just spreading it around. She was wanting everybody else to be angry with her. And she missed out on the blessing of a happy, joyful reunion. She can't enjoy the thing that God had blessed her with because that bitterness in her soul had poisoned every aspect of her life. Even things that are not directly connected will be spoiled. I've seen people who've lost a loved one and they've become bitter against God. And then everything else in their life has become spoiled because of their anger towards the hard providence of God. Do they have a right to be upset? Yes. Do they have the right, the ability to mourn? Of course. But whenever that mourning turns to anger, and then that anger turns to bitterness, that's where you're in the realm of sin. People have been done by wrong by churches. That happens, sadly. It shouldn't happen, but it does happen. Then they move from grief into mourning into anger. Then they get angry and they get bitter. Then they're bitter against their church. Then they're bitter against all churches. Then they're bitter against all preaching of the Word of God. Then they become bitter against the Word of God itself. And it just spreads. And everything in the life has been soured. Bitterness can cause one event in your life to set the tone for everything else in your life. Marriages are ruined because daughters are bitter against their mothers. And it spreads to their families. Bitter husbands can take it out on their children and their co-workers. Bitter pastors can take it out on the congregation. It spreads and it sours life. It's a root. And it's under the surface and you can't see it. So you might think, why am I so angry all the time? I don't know why. Or why am I depressed all the time? I don't know why. Well, have you considered that it might be the fruit of that hidden root of bitterness? Have you considered that you're replaying a wrong and it's spoiling the otherwise, or where you could otherwise rejoice and have joy in your life? Are you reviewing a hard part of your life over and over and over again? Life leaves scars. Life is hard, and it'll knock us down, and it'll leave deep scars and change us forever. But that's the point where we have to go to the Lord and say, Lord, this hurt, I'm never going to get over. I'm a different person now than I was before this event, and things are never ever going to be the same, and that things are never ever going to be the way that I wish that they were. So you must go to the Lord and ask Him to give you the grace to see His good providences in it, and to see His grace in that He might refine you and shape you and renew your mind to see Him in the trial rather than getting angry that the things aren't going the way that you wish that they would. And this is why it's so hard, because bitterness comes, like I said, from us being done wrong. It starts with someone else doing us wrong. Or maybe you're in a conflict with somebody and you say, well, I'll forgive them if they ask for forgiveness and I'll get over it whenever they act up. But you know, the sad truth is it doesn't happen that way. Jim Wilson wrote a little tract on bitterness, and he tells a story of he went to minister to a man in prison. And he asked him about this. He said, how can I get rid of the bitterness in my soul that I have towards a man who took my 3-year-old son and beat him without mercy? This man beat my son black and blue, and I'm angry and I'm bitter towards this man. How can I get rid of that? We told the man, he said, well, you know, if you get rid of your bitterness, you can use that to help this man and to talk to this man and maybe even lead him to the Lord. He said, no, I can't do that. He said, well, you can help this man. He said, no, this guy can't be helped. He said, well, sure he can. He said, no, he can't, because I killed him. This man was in prison because he murdered the man that beat up his child. And yet he was still bitter against him. And as I thought about that, what more vengeance could he desire against that man? That man had done a terrible crime, and the government should have come and taking care of him. But this man went and and with his own hands killed this man. And that man was likely burning in the fires of hell, and he knew it. God, he had fallen into the hands of an angry God. And this man was being punished, but he was still angry and bitter. And it wasn't enough. Someone dying and being judged by the Almighty God and cast into fire and will spend all of eternity in darkness and the weeping and gnashing of teeth and eternal flame was not enough for this guy. That's what bitterness can do. You just won't ever get over it. Even if that person would come and ask for forgiveness, you know what you'd do? Why didn't you say you're sorry 25 years ago? Too little, too late now. Come to me wanting to say sorry, right? It won't be good enough. It won't be soon enough. It won't be sincere enough. Well, how do we fight bitterness? How do we fight it? You know, this has gone on long enough about how bad it is. And how do we fight it? First thing we need to do is just recognize it. Admit that it's my sin and not theirs. You know, if your spouse says some harsh words to you, that's their sin. But if you're still mad about it 6 months from now and replay it in your mind, that's your problem. That's your sin. That's bitterness. If somebody commits a crime against you, that's not your fault. That's their sin. But you're responsible for how you deal with it. Amen. If somebody lies about you and spread rumors about you, that's their sin. But if you get mad and punch the wall and break your hand, that's your fault. That was your sin that caused that. Imagine somebody breaks in your house, steals everything you own except your TV. And you get so mad and angry, you grab the TV and smash it on the floor. Well, it wasn't your fault your house got robbed. It's your fault your TV is broken. Right? That's on you. How you responded to that is on you. Recognize that you're not justified to be bitter. You might be right to be righteously angry, but you're never justified to be bitter about it. Don't feed bitterness. You know, that's why it's tricky, because it's like somebody's coming up behind you and whispering in your ear, you were right. You were right, and they were wrong, and they need to be punished. You should stand up for yourself, and you should make sure that this wrong has been, you have vengeance, and it's been repaid. Bitterness just reminds you how other people have done the wrong, and you were right. But whenever that happens, you just keep feeding on that. You're not feeding on goodness. You're feeding on this bitter root that's springing up in your soul. Turn around and recognize it. See, it is that it thrives when you studying it and meditating on it. Look how hideous it is, and think about what it'll do to you. Think of the consequences, and then you'll rid yourself of it. Paul, there in our text, told us what to do in all these different areas in our life in Ephesians 4 that we looked at. Don't share it. Don't feed it. Don't repeat it. Don't ignore it. That's something else that the bitterness thrives in ignoring the anger. Deal with it. Do something about it. Don't ignore it, but don't let it become bitterness. See it is for what it is and beg God's help. Pray. Realize your sinfulness. Think about what Christ did for you. Ephesians 4:32. If you made a list of everything that you're bitter about, and then made a list of everything you've done to God, blasphemies, lies, all the sins that you've committed before your salvation, and all the sins you've committed since, those things that we get angry about are much smaller. It's a much smaller list. And God, in Christ, forgave you. Replace it. Recognize it. Replace it. Repent of it. Replace bitter thoughts with thoughts of God. Replace bitterness with forgiveness. Replace those thoughts of anger with thoughts of grace. Replace it with Scripture. Instead of replaying that wrong, maybe go find a relevant passage that teaches you how to deal with that situation and memorize that. Or if it is a great wrong, maybe go to a passage on the sovereignty of God and memorize that. And when that wants to replay in your mind over and over, well, go to that passage and repeat that passage and pray to God that He would help you to know that truth. Replace that with replace that bitterness with Scripture. Replace it with song. Ephesians 5:19. Sing songs unto the Lord. Drive it out of your heart. Replace it with thanksgiving. Ephesians 5:20. Praise God for what He's done for you. Instead of remembering the evil, remember the good. And let me close by going back to the book of Lamentations. And I read from chapter 3, starting verse 15 through 20. He remembered all those bad things, but look what he did. In verse 21, this I recall to my mind. Now he's going to think about something else. Therefore I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seek Him. It is good that a man should have both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. He replaced it with submission. He replaced it with the Lord's thoughts of the Lord's mercy. Instead of thinking on those things, he was bitter. He said, no, when I think about those things, I get bitter and mad and angry. So this is what I'm going to think about instead. I'm going to think about the Lord's mercy and His compassion and His faithfulness and my inheritance and my hope and my Lord and how good He is. And I'm just going to quietly wait for Him. I'm going to quiet my soul. I'm going to think about Christ. I'm going to think about what He's done for me. And I'm not going to drive that into my soul anymore. Are you bitter? Well, confess it and see it as it is. And beg God to take it away. And remember that there is forgiveness in Christ Jesus. And God, help us to drive this far, far from our hearts, that we can again experience the love and the joy and the mercy we have in Christ Jesus. And may the Lord add the blessing to His word. Brother Andy.